Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to talk today about the coming of the Lord. Now, I said a story or two last week, and I was raised with this. I remember most of the songs we sang in church. We had a hymnal, and it was a Pentecostal church, a Raised Assembly of God church, and I call it Casa Grande, or I call my home Casa Grande. Lived there for 10 years, all through my elementary school years, and then graduated from Chandler High School 100 years ago. And I remember every Sunday night, we would sing. Most of the songs were about heaven or about we shall see the King, we shall see the King. Remember that one? We shall see the King when he comes. And it's really sick. I know all four verses to all of those songs because we only had one songbook. When you're in church all your life, you learn them all. Anyway, so I remember singing a lot about the coming of the Lord, and it would scare the willies out of us, and so we would get saved every Sunday night just in case there would have been something creep in that we didn't know about. And so I was raised that way, and then so I'm not against that or anything like that, but a guy really helped me when I was a young pastor. His name was Leroy Cloud. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he said to me, and I want to put it on the screen. It's in your bulletin. Jesus' promise was to come to us, come with us, come in us, and come for us. Because, you know, when you're a young guy trying to get your own way, you kind of throw the restraints of what we call tradition and you know, how that goes. And so he said, you know, Delmer, the Lord comes. And so I was almost ready to abandon that the Lord coming for us. And yet it's there in Scripture. And then when Pastor Cloud explained that to me, that God comes to us. In John 14:21, it says that when you walk with him and you keep his word, he said he will come to you and manifest himself to you. Matthew 28, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll go with you, whatever you go through. Jesus is going to be there. Paul says in Galatians 4:19, I really labor as a woman in childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So it dawned on me that sometimes Jesus comes to us with answered prayer, with a special visitation. God comes to people all the time. And then sometimes he's with us. He's always there, and so he's with us. And then he comes in us. When Christ is formed, when character develops, when things happen, it's Christ in us. And that's really where I focus most of my ministry, and in those three. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Is Christ in you? And I feel like the Apostle Paul, I feel like a woman laboring as in childbirth until Christ is formed in you. But I think, and I'm not meaning to apologize to the whole world or anything, but I think I've neglected sometimes the truth of Jesus coming for us. And so I want to talk to us today about the coming of the Lord. And then I want to talk about the resurrection next Sunday. The resurrection, I tell you what, there's so much speculation, so much assumptions. And the scripture is relatively clear. And I want to talk to you about it. And then I want to talk about some other things in the weeks to come. So Jesus is here. And you can imagine, you know, it's funny, we're in the political cycle right now, and sometimes they go way up, and then somebody says something, then it goes way down, then the next one goes way up. You can imagine Jesus coming through. Little Israel, little nothing nation, as it were. They were under Roman occupation anyway. So Jesus comes through, and he starts healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding thousands and thousands of people. And you talk about a movement. And he was doing this for about 3 years. And the disciples were following him. They were on the upswing. Things were happening. You know, it was just a wonderful thing. And then Jesus starts talking about going away. And they said, what do you mean? Going away, this thing's just getting good. They didn't have the 2,000 years of perspective that we understand. There were literally thousands and thousands of people there. There was a powerful ministry that Jesus had. And so then he drops a bombshell on them. He comes and just drops a bombshell on them. And it's in John 14, first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled, or do not let your heart be troubled. That's the don't be depressed, guys. And then the most audacious statement you could ever imagine, you believe in God, well, believe also in me. How would you like some morning if I came up and said, no, y'all believe in God, don't you? You know how you believe in God? Well, just believe in me the same way. you'd say, Pastor, what are you, crazy? Jesus said that. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. As a child, there was many mansions. Who's ever heard the word many mansions? I worked for a contractor one time, and he had a business, and the name of his business, he was a Christian guy, was Many Mansions, only M-I-N-I. Anyway, I've got many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. They didn't understand any of this. Excuse me. They didn't understand any of this. They said, where are you going? So when Jesus goes to prepare a place for them, he said, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, again, if you've said these things, I don't want to pick on you. I don't want to. Jesus has not been the last 2,000 years building your mansion just to your specs. How many know he doesn't use angels as the laborers? Okay, frame it up, boys. Okay, because I've been gone 2,000 years. When he said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. What Jesus has been doing for the last 2,000 years is building a house that he's going to live in forever. He and us. He has been building his church for the last 2,000 years. That's why it takes so long, because sometimes we're a little slow. God creates the earth in 7 days, 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And so he just speaks things into existence. And so the beautiful thing that he's been building for the last 2,000 years is his church. And in that are many dwelling places. We took communion this morning, and Jesus used the analogy of his body because he wanted to make it as personal as it could possibly be. So in the communion service, he said, take, this is my body. He could have, there are other analogies of his church, or take, this is my building. This is my many dwelling places. Jesus, for the last 2,000 years, when he said, I'm going away and build something, what he's gone away is to build his glorious and wonderful church. All those people who've come before us. All those people who are going to come after us. We stand on their shoulders, and they will stand on ours until Jesus comes again. Matthew, number two, Matthew 24. So these guys didn't get it, because they probably didn't want to get it, because they thought they had the Romans on the run, and we're going to be in charge here, and our campaign is on the rise. And so Jesus is talking to them about the kingdom of God, and he says to them, you must keep watch, for you don't know when the day your Lord is coming. What? Where are you going? I thought you were here. No, you don't know when the Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit the house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when he's least expected. Now, most of the time when I read this, man, I take it to the application, and he's coming to us, he's coming in us, he's coming with us, because you never know when the Lord's going to show up. So always be faithful, always be ready to catch the ball, because you never know when it's going to come to you. See, and I've said that, and that's true, but Jesus isn't talking in this time necessarily about just being ready for him coming in you. He said if a guy knew when the thief was coming, and he doesn't liken Jesus coming to a thief, he's not calling Jesus a thief, so don't go there. But he said if he knew when his house was going to be broken into, he'd be all ready to go. He said, so is the coming of the Son of Man, because you never know when he's coming. We see signs and times of the seasons, but they've seen signs and times of the seasons before. And we're not to know exactly when it is. Look what he goes on to say in verse 45. A faithful and sensitive servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing other household servants and feeding them. A faithful and sensible servant is one whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them, taking care of the house, making sure people get fed, managing his house. It's a faithful and sensible person has that. Verse 46, if the master returns and find that servant has done well, there will be a reward. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, you know, he's not coming back. My master won't be back for a long time. And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected. And the next verse is, and he's going to fry those guys. He's going to take them and cut them into pieces. And I didn't want to put that in because it just raises more questions than it answers. But the tendency is to say it's not going to happen. Everything's like it always been, and you get sloppy. My wife's a deputy. She is working this morning, perhaps listening this morning, watching this morning. How many know you always drive better when the policeman's right behind you? It's 10 and 2. The Christian station goes on. You ought to have one in the passenger seat. It just drives me nuts. But he says it's you never know. And there's a certain bit of an expectancy that you don't know when he's coming, but he is. Let's go to number 3. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I want to read it again. I'm going to be pointing this time. Beloved, now are we, that's me and you, the children of God. And it hasn't been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he, that's not me, that's the capital H, he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, it's what Jesus said about the servant. If he says, my master's not coming, it's amazing how sloppy we can get. If there's an anticipation, if there's an expectancy that he is coming, John says that people that have that kind of hope in him purify themselves. There's a purifying process, guys, that goes on knowing that he's coming and it could be any time. Are you with me so far? So, Jesus lives his life, is crucified, hung out there for everyone to see. They take him down, they put him in the ground, and 3 days later he rises from the dead for everyone to see. Appeared to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Over a period of 40 days, Jesus was coming and going. They said, oh my word, the resurrection has happened. These guys just went crazy. And they thought, okay, now it's going to happen. And so when Jesus was there with his disciples, one of them said, now, Lord, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, you know, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put under his own authority. But he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem, Judea, and all the rest of the world. And they said, huh. And so he said, go. He said, all authority has been given to me. And so, boys, go. I'm authorizing you. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And as he's talking, this would be the weirdest thing you could ever imagine. As he's talking, he starts to rise from the ground. How many know that would be a weird experience? You know who you could tell who was there at the Mount of Ascension? You know who you could tell who was there? It's peoples who roofs of their mouth were sunburned. So this takes us to Acts chapter 1:19, chapter 1 verse 9. Now, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. I don't care who you are, that's strange. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now that would be strange. All of a sudden, two guys in these white robes standing there. And who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven?" What do you mean, why do we stand gazing into heaven? Our buddy Jesus just went up into the clouds and he's gone now. What do you mean, why stand we gazing into heaven? These guys say that. And then look what they say. This same Jesus. Would you circle, underline that? This same Jesus. Not the spirit of Jesus. Not the kind of the feeling or the doctrine. He said, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Like it happened, these angels said, he's going to come again just like this. Doesn't mean that location, how fast, how slow. But what the angels were anxious for them to know is this same Jesus that left is coming again. And I think it's important that we all know that this same Jesus who left is coming again. Pastor, when do you think it is? I don't know. I used to think about that kind of stuff and I was wrong too often. I don't know. I know people who think they know. They seem to sell books and convince people they know. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I do know the scripture is very clear. This same Jesus that you have seen taken will come again in like manner. And then John 14, that where I am, there ye may be also. Seems unreal, Dale. Come on, you don't really believe that. You know, I really do. I talked last week about history being on our side. God has thousands and thousands of years of promising things and then accomplishing them. Promising things that were outlandish, that just seemed so far-fetched that a man of 75 years old named Abraham would have a family in which all the nations would be blessed, and he died having two sons. Come on, I guess he missed that, but he really didn't. So when you have the track record of an almighty God who's kept his promise for thousands and thousands of years, when he makes what seems to be an outlandish statement, it seems way beyond our capacity to say, really? I believe it'll happen. Like he said, that's why the best is yet to come. So, the early church gets about doing a thing and this resurrection. That they knew this guy who died and rose again. And they saw him go into heavens. It turned them on their ear. It turned their whole world upside down. And they went everywhere proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. And his coming again. This Jesus that we knew, that we saw crucified. He rose from the dead. And he's coming again. And they filled the place with the doctrine of it, turned their world upside down. So Paul goes to this church called Thessalonica, and he starts this city called Thessalonica, and he starts a church there, and he writes them a letter, and they thought that Christ had already come. How many before 24-hour news cycle was happening? Before CNN was there? Before they all were there reporting on everything, and they thought the coming of the Lord had already happened. And said, I guess we missed it. And Paul said, no. Let me explain it to you. And so Paul writes to them, number 5. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. We'll talk about that next week in the resurrection. People who have died, their believers who have died, they rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul said, the Lord himself. self. The Lord himself's going to come. He's not going to just send something, cause people to be healed and all that kind of stuff. And he says the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a trumpet blast. Is it going to be allowed to, I don't know, maybe the voice of an archangel. What is that? I don't know. But Jesus will be there. And then people who have died, both my parents are gone, loved Jesus their whole lives. They will be resurrected first and caught up with the Lord. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. Maybe we're going to be part of those people who have passed on already. I don't know. But it says the Lord himself will return with a voice, with a shout of an archangel. Those which are dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord. And forevermore will be with him. He says, so comfort one another with these words. See, in reality, most of us, I don't say all of us, most of us have a pretty wrinkle-free life. We have a life where everything goes pretty well for us. Let me just speak of myself. I got a life where things go well for me. People are nice to me wherever I go. I go to school, the Leading Edge, they're so sweet to me. I come to church, everybody's so nice to me. I go to Liberty Market, and they're nice to me there. And I think, my word, a wrinkle-free life. But it's not been that way for everybody for all of time. There are a lot of Christians today that are in deep suffering just for naming the name of Jesus, that are in deep tribulation just for naming the name of Christ. Our missions team is going to Cambodia because there are children there whose parents have been killed. Parents have died of disease. And a good friend of ours has started orphanages to care for these children. So life hasn't been so wrinkle-free from them. But one day, that's going to be over. And Jesus is coming again to take us wherever he's at, and will always be with the Lord. So he says, comfort one another with these words. When as a kid, they called that the blessed hope. Now, guys, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I don't care how good you have it here, how good we have it here. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be a wonderful time when he comes back for us. And I live my life, I said last week, not as an escape guy, trying to get out of any mess I'm in. Meeting life head on, yes. As positive as anyone I know, I really am. But I live my life with an awareness that there is a God who watches, not in judgment, not in condemnation, but who watches and is coming back again. And I would like for you to live your lives that way. Let's go to the last one, number 6. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3. Let's start start reading with verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come. Scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. For ever since our fathers died, everything goes on just as it does from the beginning. Ah, come on, Dale. Coming to the Lord. My grandfather believed in that stuff, and it didn't happen. He thought it was going to happen. He thought that World War II and Mussolini was the Antichrist. And then on and on it goes. Come on. Come on. Since the beginning. And Peter says, in the last times, there's going to be people who scoff at such things. Really? You believe that? That's crazy. See, I think there's something inside of us that knows this. See, I think that's what preaching really is. I think preaching just verbalizes what God has already spoken to your heart. And so when the guy's talking, you say, oh, that's right. Like I said something smart, I just said something from the scriptures. And I think God's already said that inside of you. And if he hasn't, you ought to let him tell you today. He said in the last day, scoffers are going to come. Where's the coming? This coming he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on from the as they were from the beginning. Look at verse 5 then. But they deliberately forget. Willfully forget is another translation. On purpose forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And these waters of also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. Speaking of a great flood that happened. He says they willfully forget. He says, look at your science, boys. The world that we have now was not the world that it was before. That world before was destroyed by a flood. You can call it Noah's flood, or you can call it a flood before that. You can call it whatever you want to. But Peter says, there was a world before we had this one. And it's different than this one. And it was destroyed by a flood. And in Noah's flood, remember what Noah did when he opened up the door out of the ark and he let the dove go? What did he see? He saw a rainbow. And the rainbow was God's promise that he would never judge the earth by water again. God says, this is the covenant I'm making with you. And that rainbow is the sign, Noah, that I'm not going to judge the earth with a flood ever again. I'm not going to change things all around by a flood. I'm not going to recreate things all over again by a flood. I'm never going to do that again. Stay with me. Verse 7. By the same word, the word of God, we understand that the worlds were created by God's word. Remember, God just spoke them into existence. And they were created and they are sustained by God's word. I don't mean necessarily the Bible, but God's spoken word. That's how things are created and that's how things are sustained. And so his word was spoken. And so by verse 7, by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. He says, I'm not going to destroy the earth with water again. I'm not going to do that. That's my rainbow. But I am going to destroy it with fire. He is? Yes. See, personally, I think there's part of life that gets better and better and better. Isn't it incredible what medicine, what doctors have been able to do with medicine? We're living longer than we used to. I know people that would be dead 50 years ago, would have just died from some disease, didn't even know what it was, and doctors are now able to treat it. I've heard of skin grafting where they can just take some cells from your body and spray it on almost like they do spray paint and cause new skin to grow without the scarring. It's incredible how they've been able to doctor food to feed lots of people on less. So technology is this wonderful, wonderful thing. Some of us are old enough to remember before cell phones. I even saw this guy the other day. He's had one of those old flip phones. And I thought, get with the program, dude. It's a joke. I have a flip phone. So, see, and I think, I mean, this is my own opinion. I think the earth is winding down. I don't think it's going to last forever. Verse 7, he says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment for the destruction of ungodly men. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Well, Pastor, that's depressing. Not so. Look at the next thing he says, and this is the ultimate question. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Pastor, I don't want to think that everything I've worked for is just going to be destroyed by fire. Then I think you got way too deep of foundations here. This world and what we know is temporary. It is not eternal. I don't care how well it's built, how pretty it is, all that kind of stuff, guys. It is temporary. And what Peter asked this probing question, knowing that this place is going to melt away, what kind of people should we be? What kind of perspective should we have? In things to godliness, in things to holiness? Do you think this life is going to last forever? No. Thank God for good medicine. Thank God for all the things that are being done to lengthen life. And we're hoping they will get more. And I think they will. But this is not eternal life. And my concern for us good American Christians is we somehow think that this is it. This is it. Wow. Carved my little heaven out of earth, heaven on earth right here. And Peter says, no, this is not it. He says, someday this is going to explode. You want to talk about a nuclear bomb? You can talk about whatever. I don't go there. But Peter says sometime it's going to melt with fervent heat. But he says, knowing these things, what kind of people should we be? Knowing that this life is temporal. He that dies with the most toys doesn't win. What do I do with my time, my talent, my energy, my resources? What do I do with that knowing that this is just temporal? Well, Pastor, I'm going to leave it for the next generation. Then my kids and grandkids are going to college and be rich. And it's still a temporal thing. Hope that doesn't depress you. I hope it gives you hope. Because we are people that are going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's one of the reasons we're doing this Can It thing on the 23rd of October. Every one of your neighbors is concerned for needy families at Christmas. That's just part of the American drive. Every one of your neighbors is concerned about that. And I think for years and years and years, the church has stood on the outside and said, conform to us, conform to us, conform to us. What we want to do the month of October is to begin to help all of us reach our neighbors and people who don't know the Lord and say, why don't you come? On that Sunday, we're all going to bring canned food. And let's try to feed 100 families for Christmas. You're going to be talking your neighbor's language. You're going to be talking our culture's language. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is talk their language and cooperate with them in things they already want to do. Knowing these things, what kind of people ought we to be? I think about that a lot. Knowing these things, what kind of people ought we to be? This life is eternal. This life here is temporary. I think you ought to live as long as you can. Take good care of yourself. Recycle. Be responsible. Ecological. Yes, 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 yes. We're stewards of it all. But someday it's going to melt with a fervent heat. The earth, the heavens and the earth are going to, that's the end of it. And then God's going to create a new heavens. Well, he says it. Let me finish the verse. Verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. This doesn't end poorly. Oh, all we work for is gone. No, 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 no. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. See, eternity is there inside all of us, and we're looking for something more. Do you really think life is that next promotion? That next pay threshold? That next deal? No. There's something of eternity born deep within us. That we're looking for a new earth and a new heaven. Wherein dwells righteousness. We fight for justice today. We stand for righteousness today with all that we can. And how we vote, how we live, how we do what we do. But there is coming a day when everything that we know of today will be gone. And God Himself will create a new world. A new heaven. A new earth. And that's where righteousness will dwell. So Peter says, be the kind of people that hasten that day. Be the kind of people in your conduct, in your faith, in your life. Hasten that glorious day of the Lord. If you've never opened your life to Christ, you don't want that day to come. But you sit listening to me, you all watching online, just by your own heart, Lord, I want to be ready. Lord, I believe. A lot of us got lots of problems. A lot of you got lots of problems. It's not a matter of getting rid of your problems. It's a matter of putting your faith in Christ. Some are so embarrassed they can't hardly even go to church. Can't stand to be around other people who may be more righteous than they. God says it's not about that. It's a matter of opening your life to Christ. For you this morning, the day is coming. I don't know when it is, but it will come when Jesus really will say, enough. I've built my church. My bride is what it's going to be. And I'm ready to come and create a new heaven and a new earth. The commander-in-chief, not the president of the United States, but the commander-in-chief of his church is the one who knows when that day is. In your bulletin are some next step cards. If you would take those out and based on what you've heard today, what's the Lord talking to you about? See, we didn't just have this to kind of fill some time. It's what is God talking to you about? I think it does you good to write it down. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people. As we respond, Lord, I pray you'd bless. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Revelation 22 says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the ones who hear say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take water from the take the water of life without cost. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the end of the book. Revelation ends with that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So we are his bride, prepared, adorned, healed, restored, that he might live with you forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, come in your people. Come to your people. Come with your people. But Lord Jesus, come for your people. We eagerly await that day.
Amen.
Well, we're going to talk about the resurrection next week. The best is yet to come. I'm telling you guys, the best is yet to come. God bless you. Love one another. We'll see you next week.